Hello and welcome to episode 52 of Palka, brought to you by the Geekcast Radio Network. I am one of your hosts, TFG1 Mike. Joining me is Drunk Court Michael.
Hey, how's it going?
it's 14%. That's how it's going.
14% alcohol by volume going. Yes, it is.
Today is the 52nd day of the summer, and this means it is the day that the GCRN continues our new cartoon review podcast for the summers of 2016 and 17. And we are so ready to be celebrating 10 years of Phineas and Ferb. This is the halfway point of the podcast, because there will be 104 episodes, so episode 52 is the halfway point. Yes, I can do meth. I mean math.
Meth! What do you do for fun, Mike?
Meth! today is all about how summer belongs to us, because summer belongs to you. This was a 45-minute long episode. This is pretty much an hour-long special.
It was like two episodes.
Yeah.
Four, technically, right?
Yeah. The wiki says it was two different parts. Actually, it's actually about the same size as Five Faces of Darkness, according to the Wikipedia here, because there's Act 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. I gotta get a Transformers reference in almost every episode, so Five Faces of Darkness, there you go.
There you go.
Summer belongs to you. It is the summer solstice, so Phineas, Ferb, and their friends decide to travel around the world in one day in an effort to create the biggest, longest, uncuttiest, funniest summer day of all time. I'm sorry, I added the uncuttiest. That's a...
And the longest, funnest summer day of all time?
Yeah.
Uncuttiest?
Bigger,
cut?
Bigger,
cut?
Longer, uncut. It's a South Park joke. It's bad when I have to explain the joke, folks.
If you have to explain the joke, it doesn't count. Yeah,
nope.
My bad.
Yep. Knock off all this tree-hugging hippie crap. However, not everyone believes they can actually achieve what they've set out to do, leading them to get some encouraging words in the form of a duet from Clay Aiken and Chaka Khan. Okay.
There you go.
Meanwhile, Dr. Doofenshmirtz takes a father-daughter trip to Tokyo with Vanessa. Not her first choice. I mean, she was dropping all those hints about Paris.
That's right. It just had nothing to do with work.
And yet, Major Monobrow duct taped to a conveyor belt, or duct taped to a trolley.
Trolley dolly,
whatever the hell that is. That's his carry-on.
There you go. Major Monobrow. You got this big line.
You know the crazy thing is, as he's saying that, I looked at it in that shot of the episode.
Yeah.
When it's the two of them, neither one of them, both of them have monobrows. Because Doofenshmirtz, his eyebrows are not as thin as, obviously, Monogram's are, but he doesn't have clearly defined eyebrows either, so they both have monobrows. But yeah, Major Monobrow. Oh, Lord. There's a lot in this episode, folks. A lot.
This is a long episode.
Yes. You said to me off air, who the hell is Clay Aiken? He was on American Idol. And you're like, right. American Idol, what's that? And I'm like, do you not watch musical variety shows? And I'm like, no.
What's funny, though, is when Chaka Khan ran into the backyard, I was like, now who the hell is this? This lady dressed as Ferb. I don't understand. I have no idea what's going on here.
That's, Gaston's moment there.
There, yeah. What I thought was funny, though, was they kept referencing it through the whole show.
Because Ken dismissed it, yeah.
Yeah, they're like, well, you remember what Chaka Khan said? And she's like, no, I don't remember what Chaka Khan said.
Can we please stop using it as a reference? Yeah. Yeah, Candace was inside because, you know, she's freaking out because apparently Jeremy's in Paris for some odd reason without her. Right. And supposedly at some point along the way leading up to this, they have become official but haven't become official yet.
They have refused to use the girlfriend word.
Yeah.
Or the boyfriend word.
Yeah. And yeah, Major Monogram is off to the International Good Guy Convention.
In Tokyo.
Yeah, in Tokyo. Oh god.
Tokyo.
J-pop. Don't even get me started.
Oh. It makes an appearance.
Yeah, it hurts my eyes. Cause my note about that was Tokyo and Stacy's cousins start the anime cliche.
It's a short cliche.
It was a fairly long song, though. Oh, God. Yeah, I liked it, too. So we get Doofenshmirtz's plot. He's going to drop a extremely large water balloon on the International Good Guy Convention. And he's going
blame
to...
blame it. Oh, sorry. Blame it on Monogram.
Yep.
Monobrow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And no one will know that I... No one will believe that I did this. Oh, yes, they will, because you're going to admit that you did as much. You can't make me talk.
Yes, I can. I'm Doofenshmirtz.
That was just wrong. I don't want people touching my face.
It gets even worse later, because at the end of it, he's like, really, seriously, when's the last time you washed your hands?
You smell like wiener schnitzel. Quit touching me.
You are a schnitzel. That was from the episode where he couldn't dive off the diving board. Are you a man or a schnitzel? I'm a schnitzel.
What's the name of your organization? Auka. Nope, no cool acronym here.
That's the point, Heinz.
Auka. You're right. That's not good at all. That's not cool at all. Nope. That's not cool in the slightest.
Hey, at least Pauka is kind of cool.
Pauka. Nope, no cool acronym here either.
It's the podcast organization without a cool acronym here on the Geekcast Radio Network. Oh, God. What else did you have for this one?
No kisses for Candace.
Nope.
Wah, wah. I kind of feel bad for her. I kind of feel bad for Isabella, too. Because even in the end, she doesn't get any kisses.
Nope. She's too young anyway.
She's trying too hard.
Either that or Phineas isn't paying attention at all, which is probably the more, you know.
Well, he's completely oblivious.
Yes.
He's just clueless. He has no idea. So I kind of feel bad on the one hand.
Mm-hmm.
Ferb speaks Japanese.
I'm sure Ferb can do a lot of stuff that we don't know about since he doesn't speak hardly ever.
You know what? No, he got like 4 or 5 lines.
Yeah, he did.
He talked a lot, and I realize this is literally like 4 or 5 episodes strung along one, you know, but he talked a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I almost forgot that he wasn't supposed to talk. I know. So he speaks Japanese, and apparently everyone in Tokyo does anime dances all the time.
Apparently, yeah.
I forget what those are called. There's a name for that type of dance. And I can't remember what it is now.
Well, J-pop is the music style. I don't know about
that's
dance.
Japanese pop. Yeah, yeah, that's you know, they do the dances there, but there's a name for the dance. Someone's going to pop up and say what the name of the dance is.
Mm-hmm. Let's hope. TJ, I'm looking at you, dude. Ferb's lines. He does speak Japanese. Vanessa says his name. Ferb says her name. Phineas is like, no matter where we go, Ferb knows everyone.
That's right.
Sounds like you're flooding it. I'm not flooding it.
There's no inflection there either. It's like, I'm not flooding it.
Yeah.
It's like, 'cause anyone else in the world, that's exactly what they would say. I'm not flooding it. Leave me alone.
Ferb has two lines in the songs. In the Paris song, he has "In the City of Love," and then at the end of another song, he has "Baby, Baby, Baby" in his robotic singing voice that he uses. He's got Vanessa says, "I don't know, Ferb. I know he's my dad, and I shouldn't blame him for being busy. It's just that he always seems to put his work ahead of me. I just don't know what to do." And Ferb says, "Well, sometimes if you love somebody, you have to meet them halfway."
Sage advice.
Yes. So, Ferb did talk. Yeah, you're right. Ferb did talk a lot in this.
Talked a lot, yeah. So when they had the map that covered the entire house, I wasn't expecting it to actually be a plot point.
I don't think anybody was.
I was not expecting him to be like, oh yeah, let me pull that map out of my pocket. It's like, oh, are you happy to see me, or do you just have a 50-foot by 50-foot map in your pocket?
Mm-hmm.
Just happy to see you.
Mm-hmm.
You realize that's a massive generalization, don't you?
Yes.
Yes, of course. I forget exactly what Candace responded with, but it was funny.
Mm-hmm.
So Vanessa becomes the traveling companion.
Yep.
Just like on Doctor Who.
No, 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 no. Vanessa's better than all those people.
I'd argue to agree. What exactly happens to this water balloon that gets flinged into orbit?
Yeah! Nobody knows!
It flings up into orbit in Paris.
Yeah, and it never comes down. It
materializes somewhere in... Are they in Tokyo? Where are they?
Yeah, they're in Tokyo.
Yeah.
No, they go to Tokyo first. They go to Tokyo first, then Paris.
Right, but where were they afterwards, though?
Back home in Danville.
The water balloon comes back.
Does it?
And... It does, yeah, because they were trying to escape in their was it the boat? Yeah, they're trying to escape in the boat that they used giant plastic bagels as pontoons, and they were trying to get out to the ocean, but there was a container barge in the way, and this giant water balloon comes out of the sky, and hits them in just such a way where they sploosh over the container barge.
I guess I missed that part. I do not remember the water balloon.
It hit, and I got the feeling that the container barge, like, capsized, and they went right
over. Oh, you mean when, this is right before the baguette boat crashed, right? Or was this after?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Okay, I remember this now. Yeah.
Yeah, so it went up in Tokyo, came down in France. That's what it was.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what happened.
Yeah.
So not only does Phineas speak Japanese, but Buford speaks French.
Yep.
That was amazing. He had very little accent.
If you tell anybody about this, you're dead to me. Whatever he says.
That would be a shame.
That actually, I think that comes back later, or have we already covered there was a point, there's an episode, and I'm not, which, folks, 52 days somewhat in a row that we've been doing this, some of the older season one stuff is tending to run into each other for me. I remember most of it, but there's an episode where Buford ends up dressing as a bear. And he notices the French fireside girls who are coming over for fireside girl exchange student, whatever the hell. And the lead French fireside girl, Brigitte, is Buford's sometimes love interest. At least in this episode that I'm talking about. So, if that episode happened before this, okay. If that episode happens after this, maybe that can explain why he knows French. I don't know.
Okay. There's a lot of songs in this.
Yes, there is a lot of songs in this.
It was like four episodes worth of songs, too. The rubber band song was surprisingly catchy.
After a while, surprisingly annoying. We have, starting from the beginning, we have I Believe We Can, performed by Clayton and Chaka Khan. J-Pop, Welcome to Tokyo, performed by Stacey's Cousins. Rubber Bands, Rubber Balls, performed by Uncle Sabu and Company. Bouncing Around the World, performed by Love Handle. Sad French song. How what?
I'm sorry, I said not as catchy, but it's a good montage.
Bouncing Around the World is probably the catchiest one on here for me outside of Summer Belongs to You.
Not giving enough credit for the Rubber Band song.
It's annoying as hell. Because Bouncing Around the World actually talks about them using the rubber bands. The Sad French song, City of Love, Isabella. City of Love actually got number 6 on the Phineas and Ferb Musical Cliptastic Countdown hosted by Kelly Osbourne. We'll talk about that way later. Follow the Sun, performed by Danny Jacob and Laura Dickinson. And then Summer Belongs to You was performed by Phineas, Isabella, and Candace. This was voted number 2 with the Kelly Osbourne countdown, which we'll get to way later. Soundtrack available on Walt Disney Records and digital as a digital download. Two songs that were not in, that were supposed to be here but were not. The Ballad of Klimt Balloon, performed by Love Handle, soundtrack only. And You're Wrong, which was cut for time.
Okay.
So I'm not sure what You're Wrong is a song that was cut from Phineas and Ferb Summer Belongs to You. It was to be performed by Buford when he thought that Phineas and Ferb's plan to make the summer solstice longer was impossible, hence the song's name. Oh, so it's about Buford thinking that they're wrong. Okay.
See, I had a real problem with Buford's characterization here.
Because, really?
Well, you know, he's a science denier.
Yeah.
He just flat out refuses to believe science.
Yep.
And I got a problem with that. There's just too damn many people who refuse to believe just logical facts.
Well, but I don't really so much have a logical fact. Yeah. He comes around.
With
I mean,
facts and logic. We'll put it that way.
He comes around, though. I mean, he's not. He is a total science denier at first, but they give him an arc of character here where he does come around and he does want them to win. I mean, or else he wouldn't have given everybody back their bikes.
That's right. At the end, he's like, I really, one shining moment, I really thought we were going to pull this off.
I just want the bug.
Hooray! Hooray what? I just ate a bug! Like, oh, good. So for you.
We have Vanessa asking Candace, so what is for short for? I don't know. So
that's Ferbert.
I don't even want to
constitute. No, they actually called him Ferbert in an earlier episode.
Did they?
Yeah.
I don't remember that.
Okay, I do. I wrote it down in the notes.
Okay then.
Right.
Right, sure. We'll have to agree to disagree on that. I don't remember that at all.
Deep memory.
Yep.
We all get older, man. It's okay.
Yep.
I get it.
Says Mr. 44. I love how Ferb is always saving Vanessa. He gets toppled by the Doofenshmirtz snowball and goes flying because they're like, start the plane, start the plane, start the plane. And next thing you know, Ferb pulls a switch and the seat pops up and basically she lands face first in the seat.
Catches her. That's right.
Yep. Absolutely. I'm not too thrilled with Candace for most of this episode. She's not. She's not listening. And it's not that she's not listening to Mom. She's not listening to Jeremy. She's not listening to the lady that's trying to give her directions in English with a French accent. She just doesn't listen.
Okay.
You know.
I'm trying to remember where that would fit in. What do you mean?
When, well, because the whole reason why she wants to go to Paris is to see Jeremy. So we have a scene where she's walking down the street in Paris looking, because everybody splits up. You know, Phineas says, you know, Buford and Baljeet, you guys go get, you know, the fuel. Candace, you go find Jeremy. Ferb and Vanessa, you guys go check the trade winds at the Eiffel Tower or whatever that, yeah, whatever the hell they said there.
Sure,
and then
yeah.
Phineas is like, Isabella, you want to help me go find some airplane parts? So Candace goes off in search of Jeremy. And on this search, she runs into a French woman who she's trying to use a French to English dictionary. And the woman eventually just says, I speak English. But Candace still doesn't listen to her. And it's like, oh, God.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. Oh, boy, yeah. I like all the songs. I like...
Summer Belongs to You is a good song.
Yeah.
I like that one.
I think I love, I think it's, is it Phineas or Ferb or, no, it's not Phineas, it's either Ferb or Isabella that says romance is never a foregone conclusion. I thought that was hilarious.
What's funny is because, you know, Isabella.
Oh, no, it is Phineas.
Isabella's going completely insane because
yeah.
Phineas doesn't recognize the fact that they're in Paris and they should be, I don't know, more affectionate, I guess.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, come on, guys. I thought that was a foregone conclusion. And her
That's
head
right.
explodes.
Isabella, are you okay? That's what it was. It was Phineas that says that.
Yeah.
What I do love is when Phineas gives up, right before Phineas gives up, a sponge, a starfish, what? We can't do anything with these.
Yeah. No, that's ridiculous.
That's ridiculous. That's right. I love the line where Candace is like, Phineas, this is crazy. This is after they've gotten the map all folded up in into the airplane shape. She goes, Phineas, this is crazy. Car salesman crazy or mattress salesman crazy? What the hell does that even mean?
That's right. Oh, man. You know, this whole episode is just packed full of jokes.
It really is, yeah.
And in the beginning, they show written by, and they've got a list of like six writers, including Aliki Graft.
Mm-hmm.
They pulled out all the writers. And they punched up this episode so ridiculously full. There's just not a moment that goes by that isn't funny.
Yeah, and it works so well.
Oh, it's so funny, yeah.
Because normally when you have multiple writers on anything, when you have more than, you know, it would be different if it was a story in the way of, like, if one writer, like, if I start writing a story and you pick up at my ending and start your own part of the story and then, like, say... You know, Steve, you know, the Lizard Whisperer picks up at the end of your part and then creates his own part of the story, that kind of thing. That would be fine. Normally in comics, when there are multiple writers or multiple artists, sometimes it can get a little wonky. But here, having all the writers contribute to this absolutely works perfectly.
I get the impression that generally in the Phineas and Ferb writer's room, once they, let's say, you know, once they flesh out a story, once they break it down, then they give it to a writer or two to do the storyboards and finish.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But this episode really feels like it was more like a round table where they all sat around the writer's room and just threw it at the wall to see what would stick.
Absolutely.
And like 80% of it was kept.
Mm-hmm.
It's just so funny. It's such a good episode. Yep.
You know, go ahead.
I was going to say, plus, as I mentioned before in a previous episode, they fit more jokes in by talking more quickly.
Yeah. You know?
So, for instance, when they're, what was it? They were sailing across the ocean in their boat, and he says, well, barring any unforeseen mishaps...
This is what I'm saying.
Yeah, exactly. He's like, yeah, you should be home in, like, before plenty of time. And then he's like, oh, wait a minute. This is one of those mishaps I was talking about. Oh, yeah, and that too. Oh, wait, that one too. Okay, all of these are all mishaps I was talking about. I rolled so hard. I laughed so hard. He's just like, okay, barring any unforeseen mishaps, the next thing you know, they're on a beach with seats.
You know?
They're like, yeah. And now they've been trapped on a desert island. There you go. There's your unforeseen mishaps for you.
This happened a little earlier because it actually ties back into my next note. But Vanessa, you rented a scooter? Yeah, rented.
Yeah.
Vanessa's
she's only a little evil.
A little evil.
A full-blown evil. Little evil.
Because my note about her being a little evil is when she has the blow dryer gun pointed at Monobrow and Barry.
You don't want to mess with me and my blow dryer.
Yeah. Right.
She's like 1/16th evil on her dad's side.
Right? Mm-hmm. Yep. Absolutely. So they end up, you know, getting to fly back to Danville, and they, you know, cross the country and they cross the world and everything else. And as they get back into Danville, there is a substitute teacher convention, so a giant paper airplane going by. Who's the wise guy?
It was funny. I didn't get that joke until just now.
Really?
I didn't.
You're married to a teacher.
No, it's funny. How did I not get that?
Yeah.
That's funny. I watched it, and I'm like, what does that mean? I don't get it. Oh,
you are married to a teacher. How do you not?
In my defense, she's a principal now. So
it doesn't matter. That does not. Oh my god. That's just so wrong. I'm giving everybody back their bikes, but Buford never took my bike. Well, I got a bike right here. Phineas, I'm not getting on that tricycle. Get on the trike!
Get on the trike! That was funny. Get on the trike!
Yep.
You don't see him get angry very often. But...
It's very rare that this happens. It only happens like 4 times in the entire series run.
And in the movie.
Well, yeah, but I'm saying, though, in the entire run of Phineas and Ferb, including the movie, I think he only ever really gets angry at Candace 4 different times. I obviously, somebody can correct me on that. I'm not exactly sure. No, I'm serious. I believe that's...
Damn pamphlet. Shut that pamphlet right off. Oh, that's funny, though. It's a... Get on the trike! Like, all right,
get
on the trike. Yep. I didn't think she was going to make that jump, though.
I didn't think any of them made that jump.
No, but not only did they make the jump, they made the jump all the way back to their yard.
Mm-hmm.
So, that was pretty amazing. They had to believe in it, though.
Mm-hmm.
Gotta believe you can do it.
Yep.
I believe I'm going to die. Believe I'm gonna fall in a ravine and die.
I think I would sooner die from, you know, that tricycle seat. Ow.
That's right. Oh, the funny thing is you know, Phineas is on the beach, he's having a rough time, he's at the end of his rope, he can't figure out anything to do, and he finally sits down and says, you know what? At least we can enjoy this sunset.
Mm-hmm.
Isabella's like, no sunset for you.
No sunset for you.
Well, for either of them, because she really wanted the sunset, but she realized that, no, we can't have this. We gotta carry on. We gotta soldier on. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's just the Mortal Terror talking. Mortal Terror. I'm still gonna use that line sometime in the future. I don't know when, but it will come out of me.
Mm-hmm.
And it will be epic.
Absolutely. A lot of allusions, obviously, in this episode. I'm not going to go through all of them, but there are a lot. One of the crazier. Hey, I'm not reading from the wiki. I'm just looking at what they listed.
Writing the wiki. There it comes.
So would you stop it? You're too lazy for that. one of the funnier ones was Buford and Baljeet's Lady and the Tramp moment.
Oh my god, that was funny. I knew what that was. We will never speak of this again.
Yep. There's a Blues Brothers allusion. Before he launches the boat from Paris, Phineas lists their situation like a well-known quote from the Blues Brothers. Let's see. We know the SpongeBob one. This is a stretch even for me. American Express commercials. Doofenshmirtz's line to Vanessa, "You have all the traveler's checks," is a parody of the famous American Express traveler's checks commercials starring Carl Malden. I'm going to have to look at those commercials because I don't...
Years ago, maybe. Yeah. Before credit cards? I don't...
Yeah.
That doesn't make any sense. That's the whole point of having an American Express card, is that you can go overseas and it'll still work.
There's Raiders of the Lost Ark when Candace and Vanessa are running to the plane with a huge snowball chasing them. Larry starts to play exactly the same as when Indiana Jones is being chased to the plane at the beginning of Raiders. So that's there.
Here's a question. Not to interrupt, but the abominable 9 monster. Where is it from?
Klimt Balloon.
What?
Klimt Balloon.
Klimt Balloon.
The that's the Klimt. I don't know.
That's from an earlier episode. It has to be.
He comes in later too. I forget.
It just makes no sense because he's like, "You thought I was making it up."
And he's meant to be. He's meant to be a Himalayan myth kind of thing.
Like a Yeti.
Yeah, kind of like a Yeti.
But they already gave the Yeti a shower, so.
Yeah, they did that at Christmas time.
Yeah. So we know that exists.
Yeah.
It just seems odd that there's an animated talking 1920s swimwear anthropomorphized on the Himalayas.
Well... apparently there is, because Klimt Balloon comes back actually later. I think this was his first appearance, but I could be wrong. I feel like he
should have showed up sooner. Yeah, it's weird.
Mm.
You know what we need? If we need that giant map, with Raiders of the Lost Ark style lines going through it to show like everywhere they've gone.
Mm-hmm.
Because the cities that they show during the montage.
Yeah.
They're not in order. They're not in any direct line.
Yeah.
They don't connect at all. No. And I think it'd just be weird to see a map watching them bounce from, like, all over the... And they are literally bouncing because they're on a giant balloon. Or rubber band ball. That's what it was.
Okay, so here are... There is a list of locations on the wiki.
Oh, nice.
We have the Pacific Ocean... Japan, Nepal/Tibet, which they stopped in both those places. And then we have Madagascar, Singapore, United Arab Emirates, Dubai, essentially. China, India, Italy, Poland. I feel like I'm Rob Paulson here. Damn it, Yakko. Switzerland, the Netherlands, Russia, Spain, Egypt, Germany, Monaco, Australia, Greece, Belgium, Cambodia, France, Paris, they stopped there. Atlantic Ocean, deserted island in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean, they stopped there. United States, New York, and then home Danville in the tri-state area. It does say on here something about using Danville as a substitute for Chicago to kind of explain how they get around the world in 40 hours. So, like, I don't know.
Yeah, but they don't go in a straight line at all.
No, they don't go in a straight line.
Yeah, they're
They go
everywhere.
up, down, and around and everywhere. It's, you know. Think of, this is my own illusion. This has nothing to do with the wiki. Think of Duck Dodgers in the 24th and a half century. You know, we go up, due north, and then travel. When he was trying to get to Planet X, and Eager Young Space Cadet Porky Pig is like, "Oh, that makes a lot of sense, really, because I wish you'd explain it to me." All right, let's see. Clint Balloon, the magical old-timey bathing suit who lives in the Himalayas, is a magical old-timey green and white striped bathing suit, which, according to legend, resides in the Himalayan mountain range in India. Seen in the episode "Summer Belongs to You," makes the distinct call of nang 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 nang. The exact origins of Clint Balloon are Clip.
Clip.
It's Clip Balloon. It's not balloon. It's balloon. Whatever. Are unknown, but he has been living in the Himalayas since 1883. The Ballad of Clint Balloon. He was first sighted by an explorer named Sir Alvin Shackelberg, who recorded his observations in a journal. Meeting Phineas and Ferb after they crashed on Himalayas during their worldwide trip on the long. Okay, so his debut was "Summer Belongs to You." The next episodes he was in. Was like Ferb TV and things like that. His final appearance, obviously, is Last Day of Summer, which is the series finale.
Okay.
So yeah. What else did
Interesting.
yes, what else did you have for this one?
Well, actually, it's in Paris, but toward the end, Candace is actually the G word.
Yeah, and Jeremy is the B word.
That's right, which makes Jeremy Candace's bitch.
Oh.
Is that not the right B word?
No.
What?
That's not the right B word.
Oh, it still fits.
No, it does not fit.
I like when Phineas and Ferb's mom and dad finally come home. There's a big sign that says "Welcome home," and they're like, "For us? Oh, how nice! Welcome home, mom and dad." And then everything ends on a dance number, as it should be, and kisses.
Yep.
So Candace gets her kiss, her first
Yep.
kiss, right?
I was gonna say, Kandermi gets their first kiss,
Candaramy, right?
yeah.
Isabella does not.
Nope. Isabella doesn't get kissed until Act Your Age.
I thought she would. I honestly thought she would.
No, she's too young. So yeah, we end in the big musical number, and then as that fades out, we go back to Paris. Would you like some with your fromage?
Fromage.
Oh.
Fromage on everything. I can't make that sound either. I don't blame him.
Go. No, I'm not even gonna try.
It's like, where's Perry? And Perry's like still in Paris.
Yep.
Like wooing some hot Paris chick, you know.
Yeah. Well, you know, he's a platypus. They don't do much.
They don't do much.
Yeah. So, Summer Belongs to You. It was an awesome special. It was an awesome kind of one. It. I read on the. I don't have the wiki pulled up now, but I read on there because they list of like what some of the longest Phineas and Ferb things are without ads. It's 46 minutes long.
Yeah.
It is the second longest, I think. And if I'm misquoting that, I'm sorry. I did read it a moment ago. It is the second longest, only behind, I think, Second Dimension, maybe.
Yeah, Second Dimension was long.
Obviously, Second Dimension is the
It
longest,
was
but
really good though. This is up there with Second Dimension.
oh,
This,
absolutely. I mean, this
yeah.
is so good. This is easily a five for me.
I remember the first time. I think it was Swampy Marsh posted to our Oh, did they post to Geekcast Radio or did they post to Apple? I forget, but he posted and he said, "Oh, there's a movie coming up to watch for." And
yeah.
It ended up being Second Dimension, but
yep.
But this would have easily been, you know, a movie. It would have been a movie to be proud of. I mean, honestly.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Summer Belongs to You is one of the best things in season two.
With ads, this would have been easily 2 hours.
Yep.
Absolutely. So five is all around.
Oh, definitely fine. It was five. It was long. It was packed with jokes. It was just such a good episode.
Yep. All right, folks. We are going to take a quick break. Come back to close the show after this.
Vanessa, are you looking forward to seeing Tokyo on our daddy-daughter trip?
Yeah, I was really hoping for Paris. I mean, I did drop all those hints, but I guess Tokyo's more exotic.
Yes, that is why I chose Japan over Paris at the last moment. That makes perfect sense. There is no other ulterior motive behind it at all, so, you know.
This is your captain speaking. We're expecting a slight delay for our arrival in Tokyo.
That's always something. Turbulence, headwind, giant jump-roping robots.
I dangle, therefore I am.
So, Mom, while you're away, I'm in charge, right? For 2 whole days?
That's right. Remember, no boys over.
Of course, Mom. Jeremy's in Paris anyway. So, when you say I'm in charge, what exactly do you mean by that?
Well, to put it simply, I mean, you're in charge.
So Phineas and Ferb are up to something busworthy.
And I am, as you say, in charge.
I have free reign to call you as many times as necessary?
Quite the contrary, Candace. Being in charge means you handle things yourself.
Yep, basically, if you're really in charge, you won't need to call at all. You see, if the boys are doing something busworthy, that means you're not doing your job and you would be in trouble too.
Whoa, heavy! By busting the boys, I bust myself?
Ah, there's the rub. Right next to the pair of ducks. I'm also packing this book of puns.
Bye, Dad.
Have a successful endeavor.
Paris, French girls, and Jeremy. Iguana playing an oboe.
Stacy, I am freaking out here.
I'll be right over.
Cool, thanks. And could you bring some breakfast?
Hello?
So, Phineas, what you doing up so early?
Today is the summer solstice, the longest day of the year, and Ferb and I are going to make it even longer.
So you built the Statue of Liberty?
No. Oh, wow, that is weird. Behold, the amazing Sunbeater 3000.
Wow,
amazing. It's a name followed by a big number.
It's fast and it runs on vegetable oil, so it's environmentally friendly. In this ship, we will travel around the world as the sun does, making this, the longest day of summer, even longer. That'll give us 24 hours of continuous daylight. Add to that the extra 15 hours we'll have had anyway, that's almost a 40-hour day.
It can't be done. There's only 24 hours in a day, and that's that.
Well, yes and no. You see, Buford, if you define the day by the passage of the sun, and we follow the sun by traveling around the world...
Nah, don't try and confuse me with your sorcerer's ways. There's nothing I've ever seen that would make me believe you could pull this off. Except for that time machine thing, and the roller coaster. But other than that, nothing. Oh, and the time you played that song when the platypus came back, oh, man, nature just bends to your will, doesn't it?
Yeah, nothing's impossible if you believe you can do it.
Well, I don't believe, and therefore it's impossible. And what's more, I'll bet you can't do it.
You bet us?
Yeah, I bet you. And if you lose, you're gonna have to stand up in front of everyone and say that you are governed by the laws of physics, and summer is not whatever you want to make of it. And what's more, you gotta spend the rest of your summer doing nothing.
And what happens when we win?
I'll eat a bug.
Buford, you'd eat a bug right now if we asked.
Are you asking?
No.
All right, how about I give you back your bike I took when we were little?
My bike.
Ooh, Papa Corp.
Mine!
No, Boo Papa Corp.
Thank you for calling Fee Harmony, the service that matches you with the podcast that best fits your interests and needs.
I really hope you could help me because I have had no luck finding the perfect movie podcast that gives me everything that I want.
Well, that's my job. What are you looking for in a podcast?
Well, it needs to be a movie podcast that covers old and new stuff, one that reviews movies but also talks about movie news, discusses new trailers, and is willing just to have fun with some crazy movie games. Maybe even, you know, like the occasional top 10 countdown. Oh, and it's got to be a podcast that is willing at times to delve deep into the careers of notable directors and speak to all movie fans, from the general audience to the hardcore cinephile.
Wow, well, that's quite a resume you're looking for. What do you think you regarding schedule? Monthly, weekly, daily?
Weekly, of course.
All right, well, let me crunch these numbers in our patented podcast matrix to see what I can find for you. Wow, I don't believe it.
What is it?
We actually found the perfect match. This almost never happens.
Really? Well, dreams do come true. What is it?
It is the Cinema Geeks podcast, of course.
Well, that sounds perfect, but where can I hook up with such an awesome podcast?
Well, you can find it weekly on iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, or GeekCastReader.com.
Awesome. Podcast marathon, here I come.
Another satisfied customer brought to you by P Harmony and the folks over at the Cinema Geeks podcast.
Do you like retro cartoons? Then Saturday Morning Rewind is the podcast for you. Join them each month as they talk about classic cartoons and interview legendary voice actors like Jim Cummings.
I am the terror that flaps in the night.
Corey Burton.
Sometimes toys can be so tiny.
Rob Paulson.
Sure, Brain, but how are we going to find chaps our size?
Nancy Cartwright and many more.
Eat my shorts.
So grab a bowl of Lucky Charms.
They're magically delicious.
Put on your hammer pants. Go to SaturdayMorningRewind.com. And be prepared to feel like a kid again. Once again, that's SaturdayMorningRewind.com. Saturday Morning Rewind was voted best podcast ever by its host, Tim Nidell. So it's gotta be good.
How about this? When we make it back here before the sun sets, you've got to give everyone their bikes back.
Mine was the one with the unusually large front wheel.
I still get to eat the bug, though, right?
Sure thing, Buford.
I want the bug.
Phineas, what are you doing? You're putting your entire worldview on the line, and for what, a bunch of bikes?
And a bug.
Isabella, it isn't about the bikes. It's about my worldview. You see, we've all got to ask ourselves just one question.
What is a summer, really? But a tepid month or three.
Clay Aiken?
Yeah, I hired a stunt singer. What do you think?
And if you agree with Buford, that's all it will ever be. And we don't need to break the laws of physics to make a day that's longer than a day. We can follow that old sun around the circumference of the globe and stop all the naysayers from naysaying. 'Cause I believe. Sound far-fetched, this thing we've got planned, but I believe we can. I believe we can. And that's the measure of a man.
Shaka Khan, nice. Or at least that's the plan.
Of course! First you're gonna have to fix this way!
Yeah! Hey, where's Barry?
By the power of Grayskull, I command the Jawbridge, open!
Amen.
The Powers of Grayskull series will cover every episode of all four Masters of the Universe cartoons, Jordan Optimus Solo, and myself, TF2 and Mike, as we tell tales of Eternia, discover the myths of Etheria, become masters in space, and finally, Masters of Grayskull. We'll have a commentary on the Secret of the Sword film, and a few other special episodes. You can find this 125-episode-long podcast in iTunes and on the web at geekcastradio.com. By the power and honor of Grayskull, we all have the power.
Yeah, I hope I didn't miss anything exciting.
Grab your helmets, because it's time to assemble Mask. Mask Mayhem is here with your hosts, TF2 and Mike, Optimus Solo, and brand new host, Toon Master Tim. This podcast, covering all 75 episodes of Mask, will feature in-depth analysis of every episode, talk on the toys, and more. Mask Mayhem will run 30 podcast episodes. You can find us on iTunes and www.geekcastradio.com. So get your spectrums ready, as podcasting is the ultimate weapon.
What do you guys think of the Pacific Ocean?
It's probably like my fifth favorite ocean.
Next stop, Tokyo.
It says here that the Tokyo Tower is the tallest self-supporting steel structure in the world.
Oh, look down there! That guy just fell off his bike!
But it says nothing about a giant water balloon. Dad?
Do you like it?
We're supposed to be on vacation.
We'll be on our way just as soon as Major Monogram drops this water balloon on the entire International Good Guy Convention.
I would never pull an elaborate childish prank like that. It would ruin my reputation, destroy my credit. Oh, I see where you're going with this.
Yes, and best of all, without your leadership, it will totally put an end to a... What's the name of your organization again?
The OWCA, the Organization Without a Cool Acronym.
Okay, well, I'm going to put an end to AUKA, I guess. Wow, that really isn't a cool acronym.
Told ya.
Ladies and gentlemen, Tokyo, Japan.
Stacy has family down there. We should visit.
We're one step ahead of you, Kim. Here we are. Whoops. I thought it sounded a little grindy and sparky.
Konnichiwa, Stachi no tomodachi desu.
Hey, everybody, Phineas and Ferb are here.
Wow, Stacy sure has a lot of cousins. Vegetable oil we can use. We need to refuel.
Oh, sure. Bacha owns a tempura restaurant.
As for listeners of amusement to tricks between the summer there is here, we look at baseball like the fact that it does. As for people, the fact that volleyball is done and is enjoyed when it's hot, we swim in water.
Thanks a lot. We'll say hi to Stacy for you. Man, Tokyo's a fun town.
I have no idea what just happened.
No one at the agency will ever believe that I dropped that water balloon.
Oh, but they will. Because you are going to confess that you did it on camera for the world to see.
You can't make me talk. I have nerves of steel and an iron will and gold teeth and a copper spleen. Basically, I'm 35% metal.
Oh, man, it must be hard getting through the airport.
Oh, don't get me started. Anyway, you can't make me talk.
Oh, yeah? I am Major Monogram. I dropped that water balloon. I have poopy pants. Eh?
No. I stand corrected. It was actually very convincing.
Dad, this entire trip has been about your work. That's it. If you don't want to spend time with me, then I don't want to spend time with you.
Vanessa, where are you going?
I'm going to the airport and I'm flying to Paris. Hey, Perry, alone if I have to.
Vanessa, wait! You have all the traveler's checks.
Traveler's checks? Really?
Did I say traveler's? No, I do want to spend time with... Look. I'll drop the water balloon right now and we'll get...
Cheese and crackers. Oh, excuse me, you two, but should that button be blinking like that?
Yep, that means it's working.
Oh, this can't be good.
Ooh. No! Vanessa! No! Oh, they caught her! They caught her!
Ferb?
Vanessa?
No matter where we go, Ferb knows everyone.
Thanks, guys.
It's a good thing we came along when we did. So where can we drop you?
I don't know. Where are you guys going?
Well, we're off to Paris to refuel and then back to Danville.
Can I just come with you?
Sure.
Wait, you saved her and now you're running off with her? Like, oh, I have very mixed feelings about you.
And now, through the magic of the Cybernet Space Cube, the computer and stories of the Transformers. Transformers Generation 2.
Wrong. This is not Generation 2. This is Generation 1, done right.
The year will be 2014, and from secret staging grounds on two of Cybertron's moons, the valiant podcasters prepare to reclaim their reputations. September 17th, 2014, the TFG2 podcast premieres 45 podcast episodes dedicated to all 98 episodes of the Generation 1 cartoon, plus so much more than meets the ear. Join TFG1 and Mike, Peconcourt Michael, Optimus Solo, and sometimes Steve Megatron as they redo TFG1 and get it done right. You can find the TFG2 podcast on www.geekcastradio.com and iTunes.
We shall rise again!
I don't know, Ferb. I know he's my dad, and I shouldn't blame him for being busy. It's just that he always seems to put his work ahead of me. I just don't know what to do.
Well, sometimes if you love somebody, you have to meet them halfway.
Halfway, huh? You mean, like, maybe I should take an interest in his work? I would, but it's actually evil. I just can't... Ferb?
Vanessa! We've come to rescue you!
Ted, I was just gonna... Wait, what do you mean, we?
I hitched a ride! You remember these guys, don't you?
Hello again, young lady.
I can't believe you brought work with you again.
Work? What do you... Oh, you mean them? No, Major Monobrow and Perry the Platypus, they were helping me find you.
Monobrow?
Oh, come on. You got that whole thing up here. It runs right... It's one straight line, for crying out loud.
That's it. I'm getting my tweezers back from Carl.
Sir Jarvis, is it that time?
The house party protocol, sir?
Correct.
The Pullbag is the GCRN's comic book review and discussion-based podcast. Join your host, DFU and Mike, and the rest of the GCRN crew as we make our way through the comic book world. Inside the Pullbag, you'll also find back-issue classics, Origins episodes, After Darks, and so much more. You can find the Pullbag every Wednesday in iTunes, on Stitcher Smart Radio, Blog Talk Radio, and of course, GeekCastRadio.com. Make your great escape into comics and jump into the Pullbag today.
Well, I am shocked and dismayed.
Well, now you can't be both. You be shocked, I'll be dismayed.
Coming in 2016, Steve Megachon and myself, TF2 and Mike, bring you a brand new TV review show. Welcome to Podcaster Meets World. That's right. We're launching a Boy and Girl Meets World review podcast here on the GCRN. It'll take us 70 episodes of the podcast to review all 158 episodes of Boy Meets World. After that, we will tackle Girl Meets World. You can find Podcaster Meets World on GeekCastRadio.com and iTunes starting late summer, early fall 2016. So come on and walk through the world with us.
I love the thing they call.
Well, the baguettes are rubber banded on. That should get us across the Atlantic. Why didn't we think of that in the first place?
Gee, I don't know.
Hey, Ferb, where's Vanessa?
She went off with someone else.
That's too bad. I thought the two of you, you know, a boy, a girl, alone in the city of love, I thought romance was a foregone conclusion. Isabella, did you say something?
I need a new pencil.
Oh, hey, Candace. So how'd it go? Did you see Jeremy?
Well, I saw him. I just didn't talk to him.
Oh, that's too bad. I thought, you know, the two of you, a boy, a girl, alone in the city of love. Isabella, are you okay?
Peachy.
We are back here on day 52, the halfway point of 104 days of summer 2016 and 2017. So yeah, folks, send us in an email and let us know what you thought of Summer Belongs to You. Tell us what I was wrong about and everything else, what misinformation I've given because I'm a lazy podcaster and I don't look at anything and yada, yada, yada. What'd you say?
Of all the things that we forgot.
Yeah.
So, there's always a point in these where we're like, I know this, but I forget.
Yeah.
And someone's going to have to call in a reminder.
That's why I love the Phineas and Ferb Wikipedia, because if we don't know it, if I don't know it, I can just, you know, a few clicks in a mouse and I can find it. Thank you to everybody that has worked on the Phineas and Ferb Wikipedia. You all are, you know, Danville gods, or goddesses if there's females. I don't know. So that's gonna do it for us. Thank you for joining us here on Palka. There are several ways to get in contact with us to leave feedback for the show. Visit the website. You can comment on each and every one of our posts, including all the other podcasts that we do at the GCRN. That is geekcastradio.com. Stop playing with your toys.
I'm so sorry.
Stop it. Leave the show's feedback in iTunes. Please do this. Damn it. We still don't have any iTunes reviews. What's wrong with you people? Follow us on Twitter. At geekcastradio is for the network Twitter. Mine is TFU and Mike. What is your Twitter, toy boy?
I can be reached at PeconCTMichael.
Come on, Phantom.
Come on, Cosmos. There you go. All right.
Are you done?
I don't know. He's still got rubber bands attached to him. I'm going to tear those out now.
Stop playing with his rubber balls and become a fan of us on Facebook. Facebook.com/GeekCastRadioNetwork. We hope you enjoyed this episode of Palka. I wish you'll join us next time. We'll be giving you our thoughts on the next two-parter, which is Nerds of a Feather. For now, I am TF2 and Mike with...
Pecan CT Michael.
And I think Summer Belongs to Us, so that's what we're going to close out this episode with the song Summer Belongs to You. We will catch you next time, folks.
But wait, there's more!
Yeah.
Well, we've already done that, though.
Well, never mind.
What am I here for, then? I don't know.
A sponge and a starfish. There's got to be something we can make out of this. Oh, no, that's ridiculous.
Say it again.
Aren't you a little young to be a podcaster?
No, I'm not. Aren't you a little old to be watching this cartoon show?
Yes, I am. It's good to see the nation's senior citizens taking an interest in cartooning.
Yes, it is.
Yes, it is.
There's not really any more. That's about it.
Respect my authority.
All right, you heard him. Let's enjoy this party.
Your move. Don't miss the beat, just get into the groove.
The sun is shining, there's a lot that you can do. There's a world of possibilities outside your door. By settling for a little, you can get much more. Don't need an invitation, every day is new. Yes, it's true.
My guess.
I traveled halfway around the world and almost turned and ran away. But you helped me get my courage back, so now I've got to say that though I've often thought of you as just a nuisance and a bother, today I can imagine having better little brothers. And you gotta believe in something, so today I believed in you and you came through.
Well, I missed my girlfriend.
Ooh, I like the sound of that.
Besides, you forgot something in France.
I did? What?
This.
Baby. Summer belongs to you. Summer belongs to you. Whatever you want to do, you make the rules. You got the tools to see it through. Summer belongs to you. Summer belongs to you. Just remember that you can do it. And when you're through it, we'll change your point of view. Summer belongs to you.
Hey, where's Perry?
Would you like your with or without fromage?